Episode number 2 of Black Shoe Diaries podcast, back after a week hiatus. Chris, run up the score here with Mike calling in from Texas. Say hello, sir.
Hey, how you guys doing?
And Kevin calling in from D.C.
Hi, everyone.
And of course, I'm in the lovely city of Harrisburg, which is lovely. First topic, the news today. I mean, we're recording this on Monday night. The news came out this afternoon, or at least not news so much as another expansion rumor for the Big Ten. This one with invites going out to Missouri, Nebraska, Rutgers, and Notre Dame. This was reported by a Midwestern radio station and has not really been retracted or verified. And I don't really expect it to be verified in any real sense. Certainly ESPN's not running with it. None of the big newspapers are running with it. But this topic keeps coming up. It seems like every week there's a new sort of semi-legitimate, and then it turns out to be just completely illegitimate rumor. But in terms of these four teams, I mean, is this a good mix for us in terms of the four teams that are going to be added? Theoretically, the plan here, according to this radio station, and I don't have the story in front of me to give them credit because I'm sure they want credit from a podcast that gets 15 or 16 listeners. But the deal seemed to be extending invites to Missouri, Nebraska, and Rutgers. And then Notre Dame's is sort of conditional in terms of what happens after that. In other words, if Notre Dame accepts, then we go out and find one more team to make it 16 teams instead of 15. And if Notre Dame says no, it seems that the conference would, at least according to this rumor, theoretically be willing to stand pat at 14 with just adding Missouri, Nebraska, and Rutgers. My focus on this, at least, is from a Penn State fan's interest perspective. I think we hear, I don't want to say too much, but we hear a lot of what's good for the conference and what's good for the conference financially and what's good for the individual institutions financially. I'm more focused, at least today, on the games I'd like to see. And I think this is a pretty good group of teams for in terms of competitive balance. I want to get your thoughts on each of them individually in terms of how they pique your interest. And Kevin, I'll start with you. What do you think about, you know, obviously Notre Dame's sort of the white whale. Do you think this actually happens in the end? And is this the ultimate sort of addition for a Penn State fan?
I mean, as far as the validity of the actual report, I mean, I think it's completely 100% made up. It wasn't backed by a single newspaper. You know, a couple of the guys have sources, and any kind of calls or on the record reports were denials, which, you know, the conspiracy theory is like, you know, of course they're going to deny it. But anyway, that out of the way, there's going to be probably 25 more of these before we're done with the summer. The actual, you know, it could certainly happen. I mean, these are the teams in play. Rutgers and Missouri to me are Minnesota. Except, you know, just spread out across the country. I could care less about those games, especially Rutgers. I think Rutgers was interesting, you know, when Shiano was, you know, the program was on the rise and they had that dramatic win over Louisville, but it just doesn't do anything for me. And as far as, you know, a tradition, you know, and yeah, I guess we do have some history with them, although I think we probably tend to glorify the Eastern tradition in hindsight, but those schools to me don't mean anything. If they come with Nebraska and Notre Dame, that's interesting. Obviously Notre Dame is a fun game. If we can be playing that regularly, I would enjoy it. And Nebraska is actually one that, as far as, you know, not superpower school, I guess, you know, they obviously used to be, pretty powerful, but I just think with kind of the way that Missouri and Iowa have picked it up a little bit, I'm not sure Nebraska is going to be able to completely dominate like they have been in the past. So, sure, I'd love to play them. My biggest gripe, I think, is those two schools are probably not going to be on the schedule very often. I mean, I think that you would. This is really reaching into what's going to happen, but I think you'd have to put Notre Dame with the three rivals in the Big Ten. They play Michigan, Michigan State, and Purdue. And, you know, Nebraska is so far away, I don't see how they could probably group them. But, I mean, that's obviously a whole other podcast. We could talk about how to split up a group of teams. But to me, you know, and I think based on the comments we made today and stuff we've talked about in the past, I think the three of us have different ideas of what's best for Penn State. But I'm pretty satisfied with the way things are now. And, you know, I'd love to add Notre Dame as a 12 or, you know, even Nebraska as a 12. But, you know, to me, it's just none of it's very, very overly exciting.
It seems to go downhill kind of quickly once you get past, you know, team number one and team number two, if you're putting Nebraska and Notre Dame up there. And all of a sudden you have Rutgers, Missouri, Connecticut, Syracuse, and, you know, all fine institutions, and no offense to any of them, but offense to all of them, because it's not really, it sort of deteriorates after you get past the Texas, Notre Dame, and even Nebraska choices. Mike, what do you think about these four teams in particular, and is Texas still out there lurking as a possibility, even alongside Texas A&M, if things fall through in South Bend?
I don't really consider Texas an option anymore. I think there were some feelers put out there in the early going. You know, I think there's probably some truth to all these rumors when they say, you know, inside sources are saying they're talking to the Big Ten and that. I mean, I think there is a lot of talking going on, because, you know, the Big Ten's not going to waste their time on a program that's going to flat out say, hell no, we don't want any of the Big Ten. And I think when that first came out that Texas and the Big Ten were talking, I don't think Texas is really interested in the Big Ten. I think Texas likes where they're at now in the Big 12. I think they recognize that they're the big fish in the small pond here, and they've got the TV deal that's heavily weighted in their favor. And plus, Texans just have this mentality of they just, you know, they're like the only state in the union that's fought and won its own independence in the past, right. You know? So it's like, they're very independent people, and in fact, if you could see the power grid of the country for electricity, Texas has its own isolated power grid. I mean, that's how isolationist they are down here. So,
do you think there's a possibility that Texas sort of goes Notre Dame route and goes as an independent to create their own television network? They can market their football program, their basketball program, their baseball program, which, you know, those of us in the Midwest and in the Northeast don't really comprehend college baseball as being a marketable sport. Is there any chance that they can sort of squirm out of that Big 12 deal and get their own television deal, or is that just sort of a Longhorn fantasy?
No, I could see them doing that. You know, Texas is, man, they're huge down here, you know, and everybody loves Texas. So I think there would definitely be a market inside the state of Texas for them to have their own cable network. And I don't see any reason why, you know, they would have to get the blessing from the Big 12 to go ahead and do that and just keep all the revenue to themselves. So, I mean, I could see them doing that, and I think it could be pretty successful.
Part of the reason why you probably have a lot of these other schools wanting to jump, though, is just because of how, you know, I'll use the word greedy, but, you know, you can't really blame them. I mean, the way that we share with Northwestern and Michigan, I think, creates a pretty solid block of kind of athletic unity. But I think part of the reason why there's so much discontent everywhere else is, like, you know, like you're saying, Mike, they're getting as much of the pie as they deserve, which in some cases maybe isn't the way it is everywhere, the fairest way for some of these other schools, at least in their opinion.
If the Big Ten did not split the pie evenly, who would get the smallest piece?
That's an excellent question.
That'd probably be Indiana, I would think. Indiana or Northwestern.
But Indiana has the basketball. At least, you know, they nominally. They had it, and they might have it again soon. But not, you know. Yeah, it might have to be Northwestern. I went to the Northwestern game this past year out in Chicago, and Ryan Field looks like a glorified high school stadium, and there's
and they can't even sell it out.
No, well, they didn't even come close, and there were a ton of Penn State fans there, and they, you know, I don't pretend to know Northwestern's attendance figures, but it's easily, my estimate would be 40% capacity. for that Penn State game. There are a lot of Penn State fans out in Chicago too. You know, we're cockroaches. We're everywhere. In terms of the four teams that were proposed, at least today, I just have my notes written here. Notre Dame's, you know, sort of the white whale, and it's not a Charlie Weiss joke anymore. But it's something that we've sort of, you know, especially me, and I know, Kevin, where'd you grow up?
I've moved around, but most of my growing up was in Northeast Ohio, and, you know, I've lived in Minnesota, so I've been to some of the pathetic Metrodome games, and I had family that went to Northwestern also. So That's part of maybe why I feel so rooted and attached to the way things are.
Yeah, and that's certainly understandable. But I guess for all three of us, because I know Mike grew up around the Williamsport area, or at least is kind of from there. Notre Dame fans are just sort of everywhere. I mean, I grew up in Northeastern Pennsylvania, you really had two choices. There were no Pitt fans. There were no Syracuse fans. There were no Rutgers fans. You were a Penn State fan or a Notre Dame fan. If you were Irish or Catholic, certainly you leaned a certain direction. I somehow got out of that. My dad went to Penn State, but my mom is Irish and our family is Catholic. And I fell on the good side of the fence. Rutgers, I mean, it's a good location for road games for Penn State fans. That's about it. You know, the Jersey Shore. Yeah, well, yeah, for a lot of people, not for you. and you know, Piscataway in October, you can't beat it. But yeah, I mean, it would provide endless Jersey Shore humor. But you know, that fades after a year or two, and you're stuck with Rutgers after that, and a shitty basketball team, and a not very good football team. Nebraska, I've always sort of considered a mirror image of Penn State. And at least a more polite mirror image of Penn State, because those people are the nicest people that you'll ever meet. I had the chance to meet a ton of them. I had some friends who were Nebraska fans when I lived out in Colorado, and just passionate, fun, the sort of like the less crazy version of the Alabama fans who we'll talk about later. And Missouri, you know. They seem destined to be part of any expansion package, which it just seems that as long as there's more than one team being added, Missouri seems to be one of them. Is this something that's going to be, this expansion, is this something that's going to be just a stone cold secret until the very, very day it comes out?
This is, I think, part of the reason that I'm so, you know, just get annoyed by these rumors. I don't think that it's going to be a secret, but I just feel like any true move. I mean, you've got the entire Big Ten office. You've got, you know, all 11 president offices, or chancellors or whatever they're called at every other school. You know, you've got all the athletic departments. You've got the conference involved that's being poached. You've got the school that's being. I just don't see how any true move, you know, any official offer, any official jump could possibly. Either, you know, go completely silent or, two, be broken by a Kansas City AM radio station and nobody else. So I think that's kind of where I was, like, you know, there's got to be, if it's going to happen for real, I feel like it's going to be reported in several different places. And, you know, and I could be proven wrong, obviously. I have no idea how these things are happening. And, you know, is it over email like we read at Blackheart Gold Pants, or, you know, do they have a more official way of doing it that I don't even know about? So
I do like the idea of the Electoral College being one of the yes. Big Ten expansion teams.
That was excellent today.
They have a terrible basketball program, but their football team's okay. I guess that's all you can really cover. I mean, I don't remember how Penn State came into the conference now. It's so long ago. It's almost, you know, we're talking almost 20 years now since Penn State's been in this conference. I don't remember how the news broke back then, and certainly it's a different world media-wise now than it was in 90 or 91 when that news came out. I mean, we were slumming on Windows 84 machines up at University Park, and you know, there was no real web to speak of. There was no Twitter. There was no, you know, the 24-hour news cycle just didn't exist back then. So it'll be interesting to see how this one sort of unfolds as the time wears on. topic number two, something near and dear to all of our hearts, at least now. The Alabama game has heated up 5 months early, thanks to a Roll Bama Roll reader poll. A Roll Bama Roll, of course, being our Sports Blog Nation brethren down in the down the deep south. They asked which team on their schedule is most likely to beat Alabama. And out of approximately, this is back of the napkin adding here, but out of approximately 1,100 or 1,200 votes, nobody got nearly 700 votes. Florida got 205, Arkansas 166, South Carolina 57, LSU 44, and Penn State with 27 votes. And first, I mean, is this worth being offended over? Because I don't really think it is. We're talking about Penn State going down there for the first real game of the year, a new quarterback, whoever it is, having one start against Youngstown State under his belt. I mean, it's very well, very well possible that it'll be a close game. But first, I'll just ask the question: is this worth getting offended over? Before we move on to the actual character of the Alabama fans that came to greet us at Black Shoe Diaries, Kevin, start with that one.
My initial reaction is certainly not, you know, because of the reasons you said. At first I brushed it off. I was like, you know, it is what it is, but. Then when I kind of started looking at how, you know, we lost to South Carolina, you know, they were a little more scared of some of these other teams that I don't think were quite destined to drop behind. You know, then it's you know, maybe something that perks interest. But
yeah, I think South Carolina is the one that got me too.
Right.
But like, you know, I understand that a lot of these games, you know, Florida, they may play Florida at home. I'm not sure of how that's scheduled, but these other teams that were sort of voted ahead of us, they're mostly road games. I know the South Carolina game's on the road. The LSU game, I believe, is on the road. The Arkansas game, I believe, is on the road. So I get that. You know, it's not really surprising from that perspective.
No, and it also matches the preseason polls that I've seen, you know, the pre-preseason polls that I've seen, which, you know, have us in the mid-20s, you know, and we're behind teams like Pitt and North Carolina and, you know, if that's the national perception of us, you know, Bama fans are going to have that same exact national perception. So, and I'm fine with rolling with that until we see what happens.
Mike, what do you think?
Well, you know, I wasn't too insulted by it. I mean, it's an Alabama blog, and truthfully, probably every Alabama fan who reads Roll Bama Roll probably voted that they were going undefeated, and the only people who voted for actual teams were fans from the other teams. You know, those 29 votes were probably Penn State fans.
Do you think Reading Rambler somehow accounted for 25 of the 27 Penn State votes?
Well, probably at least two. You figure probably Rambler and Bad Rambler probably got on there.
Especially because Iowa wasn't a choice.
Yeah, right, yeah. So, I mean, it's been fun going back and forth with the Alabama fans, and it'll be fun as the game gets closer, and I guess things have been relatively civil so far, so that's good. But man, they sure are touchy about, they make jokes about Alabama people being uneducated. Holy cow, they like flew off the handle with that. It's like,
and keeping in mind that you and I come from a state that is described as Pittsburgh and Philadelphia with Alabama in between. I enjoy the Alabama fans. That's one of those teams that we played a lot when we were kids. You know, Alabama, back in Penn State's independent days, Alabama was one of those teams that showed up on the schedule a lot, along with Notre Dame and Pittsburgh and a lot of those. And I can't help, and when I picture sort of the modern Alabama fan, and I'm sure they get a million of those, you know, inbred redneck jokes like that, and you know, that's unfortunate because I've seen our fans in action. We had some idiots flying a rebel flag in that video with the Party in the USA folks that everyone else picked up on. And if some Northerners flying the rebel flag at a Penn State tailgate isn't the weirdest bit of weirdness ever, I'm not sure what is. But when I picture the modern Alabama fan, I keep coming back to that woman who essentially ambushed Nick Saban at, I think it was the airport, something. And I wish I would have done the research on this beforehand, But this woman just completely throwing herself drunk, draped over Nick Saban, like, oh my God, our savior's here, thank you so much. And then just sort of like melting on the ground. And I believe, I don't know if I'm recalling this correctly, but I think she was picked up for DUI or public drunkenness sometime during the course of that day. And that's just what I picture. The Alabama fans have been everything I thought they would be. Just sort of insane and passionate and myopic. And, you know, they're coming off a national championship, so they're even more pumped up after, you know, wallowing through their own sort of dark years down there with probation and all sorts of other, you know, awful coaching hirings and things like that. I just think this is going to be a really fun series for both teams, and I'm sort of sorry it's not more than 2 years. And I think they're going to be a lot of fun when they come up to see us next year, when we have a much better team and a much more favorable schedule than we have this year, certainly. But I think they're going to be fun. It's Alabama leads the series all time, 8-5. Last game's in 1990, which was a 9-0 victory for Penn State. So we have that. I'll be happy to say Alabama hasn't scored in 60 minutes against Penn State until we, you know, get the opening kickoff returned on us for a touchdown. And 90 was the year that Penn State went to the Blockbuster Bowl and lost to Florida State, and they finished 9-3 that year. It should be fun, and I'm happy that this series has finally sort of come about. I know it was put off back when Alabama was on probation, and you know, these are the type of games that Penn State should be scheduling, and I think it's sort of incumbent on all of us to enjoy it, because there's going to be a lot more Youngstown States and Indiana State's on the schedule than Alabama's and Notre Dame's.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's nice to go through an off season without reading daily articles about how bad our schedule sucks.
Yeah, and now we have like the hardest schedule in the country at Alabama, at Iowa, at Ohio State. We're essentially going to, and you know, the polls, the real polls, real as they might be in September, haven't come out yet, but you have to figure those are going to be top 8 teams, top 5 teams maybe. So it's going to be nice not to see Penn State on the cupcake list this year.
Now let's put the rhythm to music.
Bigger story in the eyes of Penn State fans, the return of Taylor Battle for his senior year on the Penn State basketball team, or the signing of walk-on punter and Indiana superstar Alex Butterworth. Mike, your thoughts?
Oh, boy, that's tough, because, man, I don't know what the bigger story is.
Well, I'll add, and I mentioned this before we started recording, but the Taylor Battle article we did at Black Shoe Diaries this week, it received 25 comments. And the Alex Butterworth article has 68 comments. And I know that's not the most valid way to measure fan interest, but given the state of the basketball program and given the state of the football program, it's at least, you know, worth kicking around, because people get so pissed off at us for posting basketball stories, especially because, and I thought that was like one of the funnier blog subplots of the first month after basketball season, especially once all the transfers coming out. People are saying, "Oh, why don't you just talk about football?" And now it's, "Why don't you just stop talking about Big Ten expansions?" Because, you know, there's only so much out there. People need to realize there's not much going on right now. There's not much going on after basketball season's over either. Real quickly, we'll start with Taylor Battle. Kevin, what does it mean for Penn State? Does it even make much of a difference? Take it from there, please.
I'm glad he's coming back, because he's, you know, one of the few kind of obviously highlights, and he's fun to watch. And how often does Penn State have somebody who's truly fun to watch? You know, when his brother committed, it was at the peak of Penn State basketball optimism. I mean, they had been to the tournament before, and that was great, but at the time it really felt like, you know, we might actually get some people to care about basketball, you know. And now it's just, you know, without getting into it, and I'm sure that we'll have many more discussions about, you know, whether things are fine, whether things aren't fine, whose fault is it, you know, before the next season starts. But it just seems like it's going to be only that. It's going to be a little bit of fun basketball, probably a pretty mediocre record. And, you know, who knows, maybe with the expanded tournament, we'll get the 60, what are we up to, 68 now? 68.
I'm holding out for the 140 team tournament.
Yeah, that, you know, then we can just put this whole thing to bed and we can be turned.
And then we have a whole month of bubble watching because, you know, we're not going to be definitely in at 140, but it'll at least be, you know, keep the last season or last month of the season interesting.
Right, and Iowa will still find a way to ruin it for us, which... this happened before, so
why should that change? Alex Butterworth, Michael, your thoughts?
Well, it was good to see him bring in a pretty good kicker like that. I happened to catch the highlight film there today that Johnny put up, and it looks like a pretty reasonable option for us if Farrah doesn't work out. And I think it's safe to say Wagner's probably going to be the kicker for the foreseeable future. I don't even hear a hint of Joe Pa backing off of that. So I think punter's the big question going into the year. So I don't know, if Farrah doesn't work out, at least we won't have to turn to Graham Zug, I guess.
I enjoyed that was the most slickly produced kicker highlight reel that I've ever seen in my life.
That was pretty sweet, man. I mean, Hollywood material.
Production values just off the charts. It was uncanny. So somebody did some very good work with a MacBook Pro and put that thing together. That's it for this week, for this podcast. Thanks for joining us, everybody. That's 26 minutes of slick, buttery goodness. And we'll see you next time. And hopefully you can download this on the website, blackshoediaries.com. And I believe we're still working on getting it on iTunes. Is that right?
Yeah, look for it on iTunes.
Look for it on iTunes, and we'll see you next time. Thanks a lot.